Welcome, welcome to our worship today as we gather together with friends around the parishes of Strontian, Ardgour and Kingairloch, Morvern, Acharachal and Ardnamurchan. Welcome, wherever you are, whoever you are, however you are feeling this Sunday. We begin our worship today with the hymn, Awake My Soul.
Let us pray. Lord, we lift our eyes to you, to some higher purpose, to some higher being, ready to listen, ready to open our hearts and our minds, ready to be filled with your wisdom and knowledge and love. We thank you that you have made each of us different. Each of us is unique. Each of us has different abilities. Thank you, Lord, for we each have something different to contribute to the world because of the gifts and talents you gave us. Help us not to compare ourselves with others, but to know that we are enough for you just as we are. Remind us that nobody else can do what we can do. And if we hold back, it's not sharing the gifts and the talents that you gave us. Without these gifts and talents, we would not be complete. With you by our side guiding us, Lord, we can be so much more. We don't keep everything for ourselves. Forgive us when we do that. Forgive us when we hold on too tightly to our own gifts and talents and do nothing with them. Help us, Lord, to share what we have, so that in your power and in your name, the world will see what can be done. May we worship you anew. May we rejoice that you have equipped us to do the best that we can do to be your people, your hands, your eyes and ears in this world. We ask this, Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Hello, I'm really glad to be with you today. Over the last few weeks, I know that you've been thinking and talking about some of the parables of Jesus. And Jesus painted pictures with these stories, stories set in familiar surroundings for the people that he was addressing. His stories had many layers for the people listening then, and have many layers for us as we look at them today. And the story we hear today is in a format that we are familiar with in other parables. There is a master and there are servants. And usually the master is a depiction of God or Jesus, and the servants are either ordinary people or Pharisees. And we've heard these stories probably many times throughout our lives. But beware, we can sometimes get a bit complacent when we hear familiar stories. And by doing so, we don't always listen fully to what's being said. As we listen or read this parable, we might feel we're already a step ahead when we hear there's a master and servants. And so we are predicting the outcome, relaxing into the story, thinking I know what's coming and not taking too much notice. But we are in for a surprise with this parable. As we get towards the end of the story, we need to listen to what the third servant says to the master. And when we do, we might think, he's being very critical of his master. And then when we see the master respond, we might feel, hang on a bit, that's not fair. And it should prompt us to go back to the beginning of the parable and really examine and explore what is going on here. And when we do that, we might see a biblical version of The Apprentice, that rather unpleasant portrayal on the TV of young people vying with each other to show how they can impress the boss and at the same time outdo the other competitors. We see that the master is not God and not Jesus. It's not quite clear who Jesus is talking about. Possibly the Pharisees or possibly a landowner. It could be any landowner. And the abilities of the servants which are being rewarded are not kingdom values, but are the basest of earthly values. You may be familiar with the parable that you're going to hear today, but listen to it through this new perspective. Let's hear the reading from Matthew 25.
The reading today is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. It's called the Parable of the Talents. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another he gave 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then the man went away. The one who received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came back and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, and saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with 2 talents, he came forward and saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. And the one who received 1 talent also came forward, and he said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy slave! You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and on my return I would have received what was mine with interest. And so the talent was taken from him and given to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who have nothing, even that will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. Amen.
Well, did you get a surprise when you listened to the whole of the parable more carefully? Well, let's look at the story. We are told that there was a man and he was going away. And so he ordered his servants to be in charge of his property. He gave each a sum according to his abilities. And it was obvious that the master had some more faith in some rather than others, because he divided the money up into 5,000, 2,000 and 1,000 gold coins. We are told that the varying amounts reflected their varying abilities. So far, so good. It's only on the master's return that we can see the fuller picture. The servants come in to see the master one by one. The master is delighted with the servant to whom he gave 5,000 coins because he's doubled it. We're not told how, but that was obviously what the master wanted. The measure of the servant's ability is shown in the measure of the return, and the servant was rewarded with even more responsibility. Second servant has achieved the same, but to a lesser extent. He had 2,000 gold coins, and he is rewarded similarly. They are clearly from the same mould as the master. And now the third servant. The master and the two other servants are in the room as the third servant speaks plainly. He describes himself as being afraid. It would have taken a great force of character to say what he said next. He might have been frightened, but he was very brave. He was on dangerous ground. He says, "I know you are a hard man, and you reap where you have not sown, and you gather crops where you did not scatter seed." Remember, the others are listening as the master is told he is a thief and takes advantage of the work of others. When challenged like this, the master doesn't deny the accusations, but repeats them with no indication of regret. He says, "You knew, did you, that I reap harvests where I did not sow and gather crops where I did not scatter seed?" And then he goes on to say to the third servant, he says, "You should have put the money in the bank and I would have got the interest." In other words, he's saying to the servant, "You didn't have to do what the other two did, but you could have just put it in the bank." But it is as if the servant just doesn't want anything to do with this money. He buries it as if he's dealing with stolen goods, removing himself from both the money as well as the way it was gained. The master describes his behaviour as bad and lazy. And you don't get the feeling that it is just the loss of interest in the money which is upsetting the master, but also the lack of compliance to the way he would have his servants behave. The first two servants were successful in the master's eyes and heaped praise on them. They had followed his lead by making money unethically and immorally, and not only that, taking pride in what they had done. The servants had been put in charge of the money. They hadn't been told to double it, but they knew that to gain favour with the master, that would be what he would expect. And so the two of them did double the money that they were given. And we don't know how, but we can imagine that they would have learned from their master how to do this, following his lead of dishonest practices. Sure enough, they were described by the master as good and faithful servants. Well, this situation is as common today as it obviously was then, and in this parable, Jesus is drawing attention to how difficult it can be to try and live ethically and morally in a world of different values. Values which are far removed from the kingdom values of love, honesty, and faithfulness. How hard it can be to stand alone, to stand apart, when it would be far easier and financially rewarding or popular to go with the flow and join in with the crowd, endorsing what is happening. Have you been in such a situation? It might be in a social situation when you feel that your values are at variance with those around you. With social media, it can be too easy to get caught up in an exchange and sharing views which, if you stood back and paused, you might think, these comments are not kind and are destructive. Would I like to receive these comments? And if the answer is no, then step back. The comedic way in which some of these critical views are presented encourages this exchange, but there's no need to endorse them by sharing them and giving credibility where credibility is not due. In the work environment, it's not so easy to step away from opinions and practices you find affront your values. Within the demands of your job, you could be expected to carry out tasks which you find incompatible with your values. Last week, remembrance services were held and wreaths were laid at memorials, and many thought of relations who had come through the war or had died. In this environment, one can easily imagine that many found that what was expected of them affronted their moral code. Remaining separate while living and participating in society, whether that is at work or at home, can be a challenge. But it is a challenge which can be met and has to be met if we are to follow our conscience. The coronavirus restrictions have given us a bit of practice recently, creating space between ourselves and others while still functioning in society. We are well versed with the concept of bubbles in our communities and at work, separate and yet together. The servant was brave enough to follow his principles, and not only that, he told his master in no uncertain terms what he thought of him. Perhaps he was the first whistleblower, and his fate is the same as many other whistleblowers, out on his ear for speaking the truth and refusing to be drawn into the same working practices as the master and the two other servants. A high price to pay, but a dearer one, would have been to lower his standards and ignore what his conscience was telling him.
Let's pray again. Prayer for ourselves and for others. Lord God, you remind us that we are not islands isolated, looking only to ourselves. But you remind us again and again that we are created to live in community, that we are all connected, no matter where we live in the world. We are dependent upon each other and upon this world and upon you. May we live in love. May we care for one another. May we build one another up in love and in reverence. May we never turn away when any suffer, but instead hear your calling that we can make a difference. May we never feel we are on our own, but always be aware of those around us. And may we be there for others. A phone call, a smile, something in the post. And through those seemingly little things, know that we are loved and thought of and cared for, as you would love us and think of us and care for us. May we raise our voices in protest where we see injustice. May we know that it's not your will that people suffer. May we work towards justice and inclusion, equal opportunities. May we work towards sharing each other's burdens, sharing each other's sorrows, sharing each other's joys. Help us to live wisely in your love, to always look for what is good, and through that to see that your kingdom is here, is now. May your will be done, Lord. Amen. Let's dedicate ourselves and our gifts to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we offer ourselves to your service. Help us to use our God-given talents so that all we say and do show that we worship you. We offer our time, our talents, and our money to your service. Bless us and these offerings, and hear us as we offer our prayer to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. Sometimes it feels like our faith asks too much of us, but we know that God gives us strength and hope for today and tomorrow. God's presence is within us each day. May we be blessed with that knowledge, and may we be bold enough to live the life that God knows that we are each capable of. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and those you love, now and evermore. Amen.
face to shine upon you.